Now, Chapter 11, The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes. Shukdev Goswami continued, "After hearing about the activities and character of Prahlad Maharaj, which are adored and discussed among great personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, Yudhishthira Maharaj, the most respectful king among exalted personalities, again inquired from the great saint Narad Muni in a mood of great pleasure. Maharaj Yudhishthira said, 'My dear Lord, I wish to hear from you about the principles of religion by which one can attain the ultimate goal of life, devotional service. I wish to hear about the general occupational duties of human society and the system of social and spiritual advancement known as Vanashram Dharma. O best of the Brahmins, you are directly the son of Prajapati or Lord Brahma. Because of your austerities, mystic yoga, and trance, you are considered the best of all of Lord Brahma's sons. No one is superior to you in peaceful life and mercy, and no one knows better than you how to execute devotional service or how to become the best of the Brahmins. Therefore, you know all the principles of confidential religious life, and no one knows them better than you. After first offering my obeisances unto Lord Krishna, the protector of the religious principles of all living entities, let me explain the principles of the eternal religious system of which I have heard from the mouth of Narayan. Lord Narayan, along with his partial manifestation Nara, appeared in this world through the daughter of Daksha Maharaj, known as Murti. He was begotten by Dharma Maharaj for the benefit of all living entities. Even now, he is still engaged in executing great austerities near the place known as Bhadarik Ashram. The Supreme Being, the Personality of Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic knowledge, the root of all religious principles, and the memory of great authorities. O King Yudhishthira, this principle of religion is to be understood as evidence. On the basis of this religious principle, everything is satisfied, including one's mind, soul, and even one's body. These are the general principles to be followed by all human beings: truthfulness, mercy, austerity, such as observing fasts on certain days of the month, bathing twice a day, tolerance, discrimination between right and wrong, control of the mind, control of the senses, non-violence, celibacy, charity, reading of scripture, simplicity, satisfaction, rendering service to saintly persons, gradually taking leave of unnecessary engagements, observing the futility of the unnecessary activities of human society, remaining silent and grave, and avoiding unnecessary talk, considering whether one is the body or the soul, distributing food equally to all living entities, both men and animals, seeing every soul, especially in the human form, as a part of the Supreme Lord, hearing about the activities and instructions given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of the saintly persons, chanting about these activities and instructions, always remembering these activities and instructions, trying to render service, performing worship, offering obeisances, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, and surrendering one's whole self. O King Yudhishthira, these 30 qualifications must be acquired in the human form of life. Simply by acquiring these qualifications, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who have been reformed by the Garbhadana ceremony and other prescribed reformatory methods, performed with Vedic mantras and without interruption, and who have been approved by Lord Brahma, are Dvijas, or twice born. Such Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, purified by their family traditions and by their behavior, should worship the Lord, study the Vedas, and give charity. In this system, they should follow the principles of the four ashrams, namely Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. For a Brahmin, there are six occupational duties. A Kshatriya should not accept charity, but he may perform the other five of these duties. A king or Kshatriya is not allowed to levy taxes on Brahmins, but he may make his livelihood by levying minimal taxes, customs duties, and penalty fines upon his other subjects. The mercantile community should always follow the directions of the Brahmins and engage in such occupational duties as agriculture, trade, and protection of cows. For the Shudras, the only duty is to accept a master from a higher social order and engage in his service. As an alternative, a Brahmin may also take to the Vaishya's occupational duty of agriculture, cow protection, or trade. He may depend on that which he has received without begging. He may beg in the paddy field every day. He may collect paddy left in a field by its proprietor, or he may collect food grains left here and there in the shops of grain dealers. These are four means of livelihood that may also be adopted by Brahmins. Among these four, each of them in succession is better than the one preceding it. Except in a time of emergency, lower persons should not accept the occupational duties of those who are higher. When there is such an emergency, of course, everyone but the Kshatriya may accept the means of livelihood of others. In time of emergency, one may accept any of the various types of professions known as Ritta, Amrita, Mrita, Pramrita, and Satyanrita. But one should not at any time accept the profession of a dog. The profession of Anchashila, collecting grains from the field, is called Ritta. Collecting without begging is called Amrita. Begging grains is called Mrita. Tilling the ground is called Pramrita. And trade is called Satyanrita. Engaging in the service of low-grade persons, however, is called Shvavritti, the profession of the dogs. Specifically, Brahmins and Kshatriyas should not engage in the low and abominable service of Shudras. Brahmins should be well acquainted with all the Vedic knowledge, and Kshatriyas should be well acquainted with the worship of demigods. The symptoms of a Brahmin are control of the mind, control of the senses, austerity and penance, cleanliness, satisfaction, forgiveness, simplicity, knowledge, mercy, truthfulness, and complete surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To be influential in battle, unconquerable, patient, challenging, and charitable, to control the bodily necessities, to be forgiving, to be attached to the Brahminical nature, and to be always jolly and truthful, these are the symptoms of a Kshatriya. Being always devoted to the demigods, the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord Vishnu, endeavoring for advancement in religious principles, economic development and sense gratification, or dharma, artha, and kama, believing in the words of the spiritual master and scripture, and always endeavoring with expertise in earning money, these are the symptoms of the vaishya. Offering obeisances to the higher sections of society, the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, being always very clean, being free from duplicity, serving one's master, performing sacrifices without uttering mantras, not stealing, always speaking the truth and giving all protection to the cows and Brahmins, these are the symptoms of the Shudra. To render service to the husband, to be always favorably disposed toward the husband, to be equally well disposed toward the husband's relatives and friends, and to follow the vows of the husband, these are the four principles to be followed by women described as chaste. A chaste woman must dress nicely and decorate herself with golden ornaments for the pleasure of her husband. Always wearing clean and attractive garments, she should sweep and clean the household with water and other liquids, so that the entire house is always pure and clean. She should collect the household paraphernalia and keep the house always aromatic with incense and flowers, and must be ready to execute the desires of her husband. Being modest and truthful, controlling her senses, and speaking in sweet words, a chaste woman should engage in the service of her husband with love according to time and circumstances. A chaste woman should not be greedy, but satisfied in all circumstances. She must be very expert in handling household affairs, and should be fully conversant with religious principles. She should speak pleasingly and truthfully, and should be very careful and always clean and pure. Thus, a chaste woman should engage with affection in the service of a husband who is not fallen. The woman who engages in the service of her husband, following strictly in the footsteps of the goddess of fortune, surely returns home back to Godhead with her devotee husband, and lives very happily in the Vaikuntha planets. Among the mixed classes known as Sankara, those who are not thieves are known as Antevasai or Chandalas, dog-eaters, and they also have their hereditary customs. My dear king, Brahmins well conversant in Vedic knowledge have given their verdict that in every age or yuga, the conduct of different sections of people, according to their material modes of nature, is auspicious both in this life and after death. If one acts in his profession according to his position in the modes of nature, and gradually gives up these activities, he attains the nishkama stage. My dear king, if an agricultural field is cultivated again and again, the power of its production decreases, and whatever seeds are sown there are lost. Just as drops of ghee on a fire never extinguish the fire, but a flood of ghee will, similarly, overindulgence in lusty desires mitigates such desires entirely by causing one to detest them. If one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, as described above, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. Thus ends the 11th chapter of the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes.